Hi, welcome to Big Fat Positive with Shauna and Laura. On this week's episode, we have our weekly check-ins, and we have our special segment where we do a 2021 year in review, where we ask ourselves questions like, what was your biggest parenting challenge this year? And we wrap it up with our weekly BFPs and BFNs. Let's get started. Hi, everyone. Welcome to episode 183. Hey, Laura.
Hey, Shauna.
How are you guys doing? What's going on in your world?
We're good. We're good. So Sebastian is 10 months this week.
Wow.
Yeah, which is very fun. He's, you know, continuing to be just a stinker, like I've talked about many times. I actually just wanted to do a quick update on him as far as like food goes, because I feel like I haven't talked about this in a while.
Yeah.
Yeah, his feeding situation. So with Augie, we did purees, basically, like, exclusively. I couldn't wrap my head around baby-led weaning, and it seemed dangerous and scary, and I just, like, didn't do it. Well, this time, I've, like, developed a more laissez-faire attitude towards it, and we do kind of, like, a combo approach. So generally, for dinner, like, I will give him a little of whatever we're having in, like, appropriately sized pieces and also a pouch. But he's starting to get, like, really into the, like, real food, you know, the non-purees.
Yeah.
And it's really fun. It's nice to be able to be like, okay, what in our dinner can I just, like, either chop up really finely or, like, make into small pieces so he can have, rather than, like, thinking about, like, oh, I got to buy more pouches. I got to do more baby food. I got to puree some stuff. So that's been fun. And this week, I feel like we hit a milestone.
Oh, okay.
Which was, you know about Porto's, obviously. Porto's Bakery and Cafe.
Love Porto's.
It's a small chain of restaurants in Southern California. Like, it's, I think, just in originally Glendale, then Burbank, and then they've expanded to a few other locations.
My neighborhood, coming soon.
What?
If not already. Yeah, I need to look into it. It's, yes, I'm very excited about it.
Oh my goodness, that's amazing. Okay,
yes.
That's so exciting. So one of the main benefits of our new house is that we're like two blocks from Porto's, which is so great. And we go there way too often. And so recently I went and picked up a bunch of good stuff. They have all these like pastries and sandwiches and cakes and stuff. And they also have something called potato balls.
Oh my God, I love those things.
They're so good. They're essentially mashed potatoes with ground beef inside and rolled in breadcrumbs and like fried, I think.
That sounds right.
And they're delicious, and they are kind of the perfect baby food in a way, because it's all, you know, ground beef, mashed potatoes is all very soft and easy to eat. And in the past, I've like gotten potato balls and just broken them up into little pieces and given them to Sebastian. Well, the big milestone of this week is my little newly 10-month-old baby reached over into our box of potato balls when I wasn't looking, grabbed one, like palmed it like a basketball, and took a big old bite out of it like it was an apple.
Smart kid. He's really smart. And people should know these are kind of big. They're like bigger than a golf ball, right?
Yeah. Smaller than a tennis ball, but bigger than a golf ball.
Yeah, like a mandarin orange or something. Like, they're good size. So,
yes.
Especially for his little hand, I'm impressed.
Yes.
He was very motivated.
Yeah, and I was going to take it away and be like, no, let me break it up. But he was doing super well with it, so I just let him eat it, and he ate the whole thing.
Awesome. Does he have teeth now? I don't think we've talked about that.
Oh, my gosh. I haven't given an update on that. Yes, he has four teeth. The upper two are just coming out and the bottom two are out. So he's got the little like beaver chipmunk teeth.
Perfect for biting through the crispy crust of a potato ball.
Oh my gosh. Talking about this is making me want one right now.
I know. Same.
I didn't realize how hungry I was. But anyway, I thought that was very cute. And yeah, I don't want to talk too long because, well, first of all, my voice is still a little messed up. Like, it's taking forever to get better, which sucks.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Yeah, but I think it's a little better than the last time we recorded.
Yeah.
And also, we have a really fun special segment this week, so I don't want to talk too long. The other two little updates I have are that we actually went ahead and bought a convertible car seat for the baby.
Oh, okay.
If you recall, when the baby graduates out of their infant car seat, they have to move on to a convertible car seat, which they call it convertible because it can convert, I think, from rear facing to front facing. I think that's why. Yeah. Shauna, I spent days researching which convertible car seat I should get. Like days. Because the one we have the Nunarava, which is like super nice for Augie, and he's still in it. He's still rear facing in it. And it's super nice, but it's very wide. And I was afraid that if we put another one in the back seat, like no one could squeeze between them and it would be really hard. And so I was like trying to look up slim car seats. I was looking up Klex, like the Klex Fünf or the Klex Flow.
Must be Scandinavian.
I think they are, yeah. Or there's also Dionos, which are supposed to be narrow. I went down the rabbit hole. And do you know what I ended up with?
The same seat.
The same seat. I ended up with the same seat.
Oh, yeah. We are living the no space in the middle life for sure. Ever since Cece was born, pretty much. It's like, well, no one can ride with us. So like when someone comes into town, like my mom, it's like we have to rent a car if we all want to go somewhere. It's wild. I'm like, I just need to get an SUV already. But you have one, right? And there's still no room?
Well, I don't know, because now that I've like looked at it, I feel like it's about the same width as the infant car seat. So someone might be able to squeeze in. I don't know. They can't be next to each other. That's for sure.
Yeah.
But we'll see. We'll see. It's just one of those things where like the pros of the Nunarava like outweighed the cons of it, you know, like the width of it. Because one of the things I really like about it is that the cover is completely removable and machine washable.
Oh, yeah. You got to do
and
that.
And that's been huge for us. That and it's so easy to install. Like the easiest to install. I can't believe how fast it is to install. And I was just like, okay.
That's awesome.
Because we don't have an extra one for Augie right now. We sometimes will like swap it between cars. And if it wasn't easy to put in and get out, it would be a nightmare. So,
right.
Yep. So now we have two of them. We ended up putting it in Corey's car for now because Sebastian still fits in his infant car seat. And that way it's like, oh, okay, if Augie needs to go in Corey's car or even Sebastian because he would fit in it.
Right.
You know, it's like having an extra car seat for the moment. But those days are limited. Like, it's not going to last that long. So, yeah. So things are moving along.
Yeah, that's a true sign that your baby's growing up.
I know. Oh, my little baby. He's getting too big. But anyway, that was my check-in for this week. Shauna, I want to hear what you guys have been up to.
So we're pretty good, a lot better than last week. Elle has recovered from her illness that landed her in the ER.
Oh,
and good. Yeah, none of the rest of us caught it, which is very, very fortunate. And it's been interesting to see how Cece is processing Chili's death. Because, you know, at the time, she kind of, it almost seemed like she didn't understand really, you know, she definitely didn't show much emotion about it. She would kind of pare it back to us what was happening. So I knew that she understood conceptually, but you know, at that age, and I remember this with Elle too, like big things like that just take longer for them to process and they think about it as the days go on. And at the most random times, usually I notice like if I like sigh for some reason, if I'm like, oh, or I like look wistfully off, I'm thinking she'll be like reminded that Chili dying was something that made me sad, you know, or something like that. So she'll be like, oh, you miss your chill. You miss Chili. I'm like, yeah, I miss Chili, even if I'm not really thinking about that, you know?
Yeah, you're just sighing about the fact that you have to cook dinner again.
Again, exactly. Like, oh, I'm just thinking about the weight of taking care of you children during a pandemic every day. But yes, I also miss my chill. And then she'll be like, yeah, Chili was really old and really sick and he had to go. He died. And I'm like, yeah, that's right. And so she brings that up a lot. And especially if Elle starts crying, you know, because Cece saw her be so emotional about it. So now she associates that anytime Elle cries about anything, she's just like, oh, yeah, Chili died. And Elle gets upset. She's like, I know Chili died. Don't tell me that. Like, I'm
upset about repeating
it. Yeah. So, yeah, she's processing it and we're all kind of dealing with it and moving on. Yeah. The other thing I want to talk about Cece this week is kind of related to that in that I'm starting to realize how much more she knows and thinks about things and processes stuff than I realize. Because last week you were mentioning like sometimes with the older kid, I put too much maturity on them, right? Because they're so much more mature than the baby.
Yeah.
And I think what I've done with Cece is the opposite. Like, she's the younger, she's my baby. So I've put less maturity on her and expected less from her. And it's very interesting. So what I'm about to tell you really caught me by surprise.
Okay.
And what I mean is just like, sometimes I just don't know how much she really understands about what we're talking about or what's going on, or even like books that I'm reading, like how much is she really absorbing? I just don't know. And I'm so used to dealing with a 5-year-old who's like so fast and quick and like a really fast learner and just like so smart and stuff, that Cece's still kind of just like my baby. So the other day we were reading a book on Epic, which is our app where you can read books. It's awesome. We love it. And at the end of a lot of books, they have quizzes about the book. And Elle really likes taking the quizzes, and Cece's kind of started getting into him too. And I'm just like, okay, sure, take the quiz, little 2-year-old. Okay. And she read a book the other day called Scribbles and Ink, about a little cat and a mouse. And by she read it, I mean like it's a narrated book, like someone else reads it, right? So she's listening to the book. And at the end of the book, she's like, I'm gonna take the quiz. I'm like, okay, go for it, take the quiz. And the same thing, someone else reads the quiz and she listens, and it's a question and then like 3 or 4 choices, like Scribbles did this, blah, 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 blah. And she took this quiz and she got 9 out of 10 questions right.
Wow.
About this book, based on listening, then like watching what answer the narrator was reading, the order of the answers, and then picking the right answer. I was just like, excuse me?
Oh, wow. So it's not like she was telling you, it's this. Like, she literally was tapping and picking the right answer.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Wow.
So if the narrator said the correct answer as A, Cece listened to all the answers and then picked A and then submitted the answer.
Wow.
I was like, excuse me, 90%? What's going on in that brain that I've missed last year when I'm just assuming you're like my little baby? And so I was like, this got to be a fluke, right? And we read some more books, and like, she was getting like 80% to 90% on these quizzes. And I was just like,
dang,
I am so sorry, ma'am, that I have underestimated you. Clearly you are like way more aware of what's going on than I realized. And yeah, it threw me for a loop, and I realized I've got to stop underestimating her and like try to give her more challenging things and really push her intelligence, because, you know, she's not the baby that she is in my heart.
Oh.
My last little check-in is the new thing they've been watching, which cracks me up, is old original episodes of Scooby-Doo.
Oh.
Which is what I watched when I was like 5 years old. Someone in one of my mom's groups was like, my 5-year-old is addicted to old Scooby-Doo. It's amazing because like the episodes never end. There's so many. And I was like, I bet Elle would like Scooby-Doo. Like, it's a mystery, you know?
Yeah.
And it's funny. And oh, yeah, she's really into it. And it is. It's kind of scary because, you know, they're always investigating monsters. But Cece's along for the ride. Like, I'm sorry, when you're a second kid, you don't get protected from Scooby-Doo monsters until you're 5 years old. You see them when you're 2. But I have a little voice memo for you.
While you find that, I just want to tell you, I was also obsessed with Scooby-Doo. Like, there's a famous photo in our family of my brother and I both just like hugging our Scooby-Doo stuffed animals tight.
Oh,
yeah.
It's so good. I love it. I just was really into it as a kid. This one, we're going to do the Scooby-Doo song, and you're first this time.
Scooby-Dooby-Doo, where are you? We have 10 work to do now.
Yeah.
Scooby-Dooby-Doo, where are you? We got a job to do now. Scooby-Dooby-Doo, where are you? We got some work from you now.
Oh, that's awesome, girls. So, do you love watching Scooby-Doo?
Yeah.
What character do you like on Scooby-Doo?
I like Fred.
Fred?
I like Scooby-Dooby-Doo.
Me too.
Me too.
Oh my God.
So they're into
it. I like Scooby-Dooby-Doo.
That's cute. They walk around the house singing that all the time.
That's so cute. It's a little bit better than Bucket Wheel Excavator, which has been our song of choice.
Well, I think you need to get a recording of him singing that so we can get a little Augie singing on the show, too.
I do need to get some Augie singing. I feel like he clams up every time I bring my voice memos out, but I'm going to get him to sing. It's either hard. Bucket Wheel Excavator or he's really into Bucket Truck also. The buckets are a theme. Yeah.
Nice. So, yeah. Very cool. Well, that's all for me. Shall we move on to our special segment?
Yeah, let's do it.
Laura, I don't know about you, but I feel like my skin has gone through lots of changes since pregnancy and parenthood.
Oh, for sure. Our skin goes through a lot during different stages of life, whether that's melasma, dry skin, hormonal acne, or what I like to call too exhausted at the end of the day to do a skincare routine skin.
I hear ya. Well, luckily, our sponsor, OneSkin, has a simple skincare routine that even sleep-deprived parents can handle.
I've been using the topical face and eye creams, and not only is it an easy routine, it makes my skin feel healthy and refreshed.
You have been rocking that glowy look lately.
Aw, thank you. Founded by an all-woman team of scientists, OneSkin has developed a proprietary peptide called OS1 that's scientifically validated to improve the health of your skin beneath the surface.
Not only that, their products are backed by extensive lab and clinical data to validate their efficacy and safety for use at any stage in life.
For a limited time, you can try OneSkin for 15% off using the code BFP when you check out at oneskin.co.
OneSkin is the world's first skin longevity company. By focusing on the cellular aspects of aging, OneSkin keeps your skin looking and acting younger for longer.
Get started today with 15% off using code BFP at oneskin.co. That's 15% off oneskin.co with code BFP. After you purchase, they'll ask you where you heard about them. Please support our show and tell them we sent you. May is Mental Health Awareness Month, and as a busy mom, I admit I sometimes forget to prioritize my mental health. But when I do, I feel so much better. And I've realized that a big part of my mental health is finding support through my community.
Absolutely. It's easy to feel stuck in my routine or cancel plans when leaving the house and the kids feels overwhelming. But I've discovered I can find community
Allo
and support
Moves
for my mental health.
Allo Moves is the award-winning on-demand streaming wellness platform app that has mindfulness, self-care, workouts, and more to help boost your mental and physical well-being.
When I make time for movement and mindfulness, even if it's just for a few minutes, it has such a positive impact on my day. And I love that I can connect with other users in the Allo Moves community to support and encourage each other.
Whether I'm taking a class with a friend in person or connecting with another member in the community comments, Allo Moves really brings people together. We're all just trying to find ourselves because we're all in it together.
With over 100 new classes every month, Allo Moves keeps me motivated and supported. I absolutely love the mindfulness classes. Taking time to focus on my breath and body in the present moment does so much for my well-being all day.
And when I need an energy pick-me-up before diving into the day, I love doing a 15-minute Pilates class to focus my mind and get my blood pumping.
Find yourself together when you join Allo Moves. Join the community on allomoves.com today and use code BFP for an exclusive 30-day free trial, plus enjoy 20% off an annual membership.
That's allomoves.com code BFP for 30-day free trial, plus 20% off an annual membership. allomoves.com code BFP.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Sometimes I just have a week, you know, where work and parenting and keeping up with the house all feels so overwhelming, and I just need to vent about it and get it off my chest. It's amazing how just expressing it out loud can relieve a lot of tension that has built up. We all carry around different stressors, big and small, and when we keep them bottled up, it can start to affect us negatively. Therapy is a safe place to get things off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down. I have worked through many difficult situations in therapy. It's such a great way to get perspective on your experience and learn techniques to help you cope in the moment when things get tough. If you're feeling overwhelmed, down, or stressed and would like to talk to a therapist, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, which means no driving across town to appointments, and you can easily make it work with your schedule. To get started, just fill out a quick questionnaire and you'll get matched with a therapist. If it doesn't feel like a perfect fit, you can switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/BFP today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp. HELP.com/BFP.
Okay, we are back, and our special segment this week is a very special segment because it's our annual year in review.
Yes, I love this. And how has it already been 1 year since we've done this?
I don't know. We probably should have done it last week, but we kind of snoozed on it. And so this episode is coming out the first week of 2022. And we thought we would ask ourselves the same questions we asked ourselves last year and to see if anything has changed, what's new. So we have 15 questions. I think we should just dive right in.
Yeah, I think we should.
Yeah. Okay. So, Shauna, question number one. What was one of the most memorable things that happened to you this year?
Absolutely, without a doubt, our family's trip to Redondo Beach, where we stayed in the beach house with my mom and stepdad and played at the beach and did date night with Steve without masks. It was like that glorious window of time in the pandemic that everything seemed okay. And, you know, we just let it go. And it was just a lot of fun and very carefree, happy time of my year.
Awesome.
What about you? What was one of the most memorable things that happened this year?
I did have a baby.
No, that's right. That's right.
That's right. But you know what? Specifically, I think having the VBAC is what was most memorable this year.
Yeah.
Because that was it was a bit surprising, I have to admit. So, yeah. So, I mean, I didn't know if it was going to happen, and then it happened and it was relatively smooth. So that's for sure something I'm going to remember for the rest of my life.
Yeah. Oh, I love it. All right. Here's another one for you. What was your biggest parenting challenge this year?
Definitely learning how to juggle two kids, especially a toddler and a baby. I mean, that feels like advanced placement parenting to me.
Yes.
Or did this year, at least. Those of you with three or more kids, my hat's like far off my head for you. Like, I don't even
right?
know. Right? Yeah. But yeah, it was a real learning curve there. And it continues to be a challenge sometimes, but it's good. So yeah, definitely biggest parenting challenge, learning to juggle two kids. How about you?
Yeah. Well, obviously, last week was really, really hard for me.
Yeah.
Saying goodbye to Chili and then missing Thanksgiving because Elle was so sick. That was really, really hard. And then just more generally, I think it's been really challenging for me to work full time with Cece home alone now that she's almost three. Like, it's just a different type of challenge. Elle's not around all day to be her playmate. And it's been very demanding of me and trying to find the balance of being able to work and take care of her and make her happy and not give her too much screen time and all the stuff that goes along with that has been just really, really tough.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. Next question. What made you laugh the hardest this year?
I really wish I could honestly be like, my girl's telling me jokes because, you know, it does make me laugh and stuff. But honestly, I laughed my ass off at this Netflix movie that Steve and I watched towards the beginning of the year. It's called Bad Trip and it stars Eric Andre. And it's like a prank show, but with a narrative arc. So kind of like Borat, right? Like he does a lot of like real life pranks, but then shapes it into a movie. So along the same lines, but even funnier. I mean, I always like the Borat movies too, but this one, I don't know, just like some of these things that were going on that they were doing, I just remember laughing so hard that I was crying. And that is always such a welcome reprieve as an overworked parent, especially during a pandemic. It's like, oh my God, finally something I can just like laugh my ass off and till I'm pouring tears. So I really enjoyed that movie and I might have to watch it again now that I'm talking about it and thinking about it and enjoy it again.
I've never heard of it, so I'm going to definitely watch that.
You have to because our friend's husband co-wrote it. So you got to check it out.
Who?
Yeah, Margot's husband was a co-writer on it.
Oh my goodness. I can't believe I missed this. All right. I'll put it on the list.
All right. What about you? What made you laugh the hardest?
Well, last night, the kids both decided to give me raspberries on my stomach, like blow raspberries on my stomach.
Oh, my God.
Simultaneously, like Sebastian was copying Augie and it legitimately tickled really bad. And so I was laughing hysterically. And then I just thought it was so funny that like Sebastian was joining in on the fun. So,
yeah.
That just springs to mind because it literally happened last night. There are definitely some times this year where Corey and I like did that thing where we were like, trying so hard not to laugh, and we were like crying and like had to like walk out of the room because of something hilarious Augie did.
Oh, right.
But I literally can't remember the context of any of them. I just know it happened a bunch of times, especially when you're sleep deprived, you know?
Oh, for sure.
Yeah. So, but we did laugh a lot this year. That's good.
Good. I love that. Okay. Here's another one for you. What was the most surprising thing that happened to you this year?
I think the kids getting COVID was the most surprising.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. I mean, yes and no, right? Like, it's a pandemic and they're not vaccinated and we do things. I mean, we didn't really do a lot of things before they got COVID, but right. we did decide to send Augie to school 2 days a week. And people may remember that he got COVID the first week of school during that Delta wave. So
yeah,
that was definitely a shock. And, you know, it was worrying for a little bit, but luckily they did quite well with it. So, you know, no long-term effects as far as we know. So that's good. But yeah, that was definitely a shock. How about you?
For sure. For sure. Well, I haven't talked about this on the show, but in March, Steve got laid off from his job. And that was very surprising. We did not think that would happen. We knew that it was possible that layoffs were coming in the department, but he was one of the people that got the axe. And that was really terrifying for us for a while, right? It's like, oh my God, he's the one that has the job with benefits, right? Because I work for the same company, but I'm just a contractor. So I don't have the type of great corporate benefits that he had. Mm-hmm. And is he going to find another job during a pandemic? And oh my God, it was really stressful couple of months. I will say that things have worked out great. He got a new job at a new entertainment company. It's a better job. It's a better fit for him. So it all totally worked out in the end. So I guess in a way that's surprising too. Like when something so unexpected happens and you're like, oh my God, how are we ever going to come out of this and recover from this? Mm-hmm. And then something better comes out of it. Like that's a nice surprise too. And then on the work front, my job out of nowhere converted me from a contractor to a staff member. So I'm a legitimate staff member now, which was a total surprise. And now I get to carry the corporate benefits for my family. So it's, yeah, all kind of some bad and good career things that happened this year.
And long overdue. My goodness. The fact that you were a contractor that long makes me a little angry.
I know.
Yes. I was also a contractor for that company for 5 years. So I have personal grudges there. But anyway, I'm really glad it worked out for Steve. And I'm so happy he likes his new job.
Yeah, me too. Me too.
Okay, next question. What new skill or hobby did you pick up this year?
I kind of learned how to take care of plants this year.
Oh.
I have always considered myself a person with a brown thumb. I kill plants that I bring into my house right away. I've just never really had plants around the house because I'm just too depressed. I'm like, why buy a plant? It's just going to die and then I'm going to feel bad. Yeah, it's really bad. And it kind of started when I got into succulents and stuff. I talked about that on the show before, and I've really like grown my succulent collection out on my patio and enjoying those because they're a lot harder to kill. And that got my confidence up, and I started buying like some flowers and some flowering bushes. I have a little hibiscus plant out there and a jasmine, and I even graduated to buying some plants for my new office.
Ooh.
I got this really cool snowy pothos, which pothos are apparently really hard to kill. I went to a plant store and it's like, tell me what's really hard to kill. And she suggested these two plants. And this other one, I don't remember what it is. It's like huge and like these big leaves. It like looks dramatic. And it's, I just love it. I love watering them. They haven't died yet. And I feel really proud of myself.
I wish we could have more greenery in our house, but we have cats and like every fucking plant kills cats.
God.
That's not entirely true. We actually have a money tree that you guys brought us as a housewarming gift, and it's thriving.
It is? Oh, good.
So, you know, we have a few inside, but yeah, I have to do most of my gardening outside. But yeah, I'm so glad.
Yeah, so that's been fun. What about you? What new skill or hobby did you pick up this year?
Vaginal birth? Does that count?
That's a skill. I don't know if you'd call that a hobby.
Oh my gosh.
Unless you want to do it again.
Yeah, it's a hobby for some, but not for me. No. Okay, so probably if I'm answering honestly, it's like home improvement stuff. Like I've gotten really good at just going to Home Depot and finding the shit I need and like bringing it home and making it happen.
So nice. Like, need to hire you.
I don't know if I'm there yet, but like, you know, I have a very can-do attitude about it right now. So like when we needed to replace the cartridges in our shower, I was like, I'm going to YouTube this. I'm going to go to Home Depot. I'm going to do it. And I did.
What is a shower cartridge?
So, you know, the showers with that like have one knob and you go from like hot to cold.
Uh-huh.
The cartridge is what controls how much hot and how much cold is coming out.
Wow. Didn't even know that. Look at you, handy woman.
Yep. Yep. That's me. So, home improvement stuff for sure.
Cool. So what was the most fun you had this year?
You know, I think going to Disneyland with the kids was the most fun. Yeah. Oh, cool. It was just a really good time. And I had a lot of fun. They had a lot of fun. It was just a nice family day.
Mm-hmm. You're really starting to convince me that I got to go to Disneyland one of these days.
I don't know why you're against it. It's so fun. It's so fun.
I know. I'm going to try it. I will soon.
Maybe we could all go together.
That would be even more fun and more motivation for me.
Yes. So since you haven't been to Disneyland this year, what was the most fun you've had this year?
Well, aside from my Redondo Beach trip, I would say that Halloween this year was really fun. Like I was in a really festive mood and we did trick-or-treating. We had our own Halloween party at my house. My mom and stepdad came. We all dressed up and just... all of the Halloween festivities this year just played out perfectly. And the girls had a great time in their adorably hilarious little costumes, my snow leopard and my Clifford, and I was a butterfly. So I don't know. That was a lot of fun this year. Very memorable.
I always love Halloween.
Yeah, it's a good time.
Okay, what was the best book you read this year?
I am proud to say that I have read a few books this year. I know when we like first did this exercise, I was like, I didn't read a single book. This year, I read a few, and of them, I really enjoyed a book called The Guest List by Lucy Foley. And it's about this couple that gets married on this like remote island in Ireland, which I like because I studied abroad in Ireland. And so I like reading about stuff like that. And it's kind of like a dark, haunting murder mystery. And all these people come to this island. And yeah, it was really good. I enjoyed it. What about you? I always like getting book recommendations from you.
So I didn't get to read as much as I used to with two kids in my life now. But I did get a fair amount of reading done, usually audiobooks. But I have two recommendations. I have one nonfiction and one fiction. So nonfiction, I actually talked about on the show a lot. It's called Mom Jeans, G-E-N-E-S.
Oh, yes. I really got to read that.
Yeah, by Abigail Tucker. It's just like, it's the one that stuck with me the most this year. I always have all these little like fun tidbits and pieces of trivia that come out of it. So definitely that was my favorite nonfiction book. And then my favorite fiction book was Circe by Madeline Miller.
Mm-hmm.
It's a reimagining of the like myth of Circe, who's like a nymph in Greek mythology, very like minor character. And I barely remembered anything about her as far as like mythology goes. And it was a book that I was like, I don't know if I want to read this. I'm not really big into Greek mythology. Like, but it had been recommended by so many people that I finally picked it up. And oh my God, like this book was honestly, it's one of those books that I'm always going to remember as like life-changing and how I listen to and read fiction. It's that good. The prose is just amazing. And the story is so complex and interesting and has such a great payoff at the end and everything's put together perfectly. It's so good. And she actually wrote another book called The Song of Achilles that I have in my queue because I want to read that too. But yeah, Circe is awesome. You should read it.
Awesome. I'm going to get that one for sure. All right. This is always a good one. What was your biggest time waster this year?
It's the same thing every year. Social media. Mm-hmm. This year it's a little different. It's Facebook and TikTok.
Oh, right. You're into TikTok this year.
I'm very into TikTok this year. And I mean, I don't know. Some days it's a time waster and some days it's a nice decompression tool. So, but I do think that I definitely have spent way more time on both of those platforms than I need to. So, I'd say Facebook and TikTok. How about you? What wasted your time this year?
I mean, yeah, it's hard to be like, I wasted my time doing it. Because like when you spend so much time doing something, you don't want to admit that it's been all for naught. But I have to admit, I have watched about 10 or 11 seasons of Top Chef this year.
Oh, wow.
And I think that's time waster. And but I like it. It's fun. It's just like easy to watch. And it's all available on Hulu. And it's just like, I don't know, you know, when we're not in an into another show at the moment, or like when Steve's finishing up putting one of the kids to bed and it's not time to watch a show together, I'll be like Top Chef and put it on and decompress from the day. So yeah, I've become a huge Top Chef fan.
Well, has it helped you like learn new recipes or anything?
No, negative. not really. Just it's fun to watch people make food and get eliminated. That's all.
Okay. Next question. If you could travel back to the beginning of the year, January 2021, what advice would you give yourself?
Okay, I don't want this to come across as pessimistic. It might, sorry. I think I would have told myself to like lower my expectations for the pandemic and getting back mm-hmm. to normal life. I have gone through a roller coaster of hope and dashed hope this year because I just kept thinking like, oh my God, like it's almost over. Like things are going to get back to normal. No, you know, another wave of a new variant or something like that. And those dashed hopes have gotten me down pretty hard, I think, more so than if I had just kind of had low expectations. Like, you know, the truth is we're probably going to be in this for another year or two. Who knows? Just get comfortable, do what you can with the situation. So, yeah, I kind of wish that I would have known that.
Yeah, set your expectations better. That makes sense.
Yeah. What about you?
Oh, if I could tell January 2021 Laura to start packing her shit now and getting rid of shit, I wish I could go back. I mean,
that's right, because you moved in the middle of all this.
Yeah, we moved in June. And if we had had 6 months to get our shit together, it would have been so much easier. I mean, to be fair, I had a baby February 1st, so I wouldn't have been that easy. But like, if I could have just been like, look, it's going to be a nightmare unless you do this now, I could have used that advice. Yeah.
Yeah, I hear you. Next question. What are you most proud of this year?
Well, I don't know if I can like fully take credit for this, but I am definitely the most proud of the fact that Augie and Sebastian are like friends and love each other, and specifically that Augie is just like the sweetest to his baby brother. Like, it just fills me with so much like pride and joy to see him be gentle, and like if the baby's crying, he comes over, he's like, it's okay, and tries to like calm him down and gives him kisses and stuff. I mean, it's just, you can't ask for more. So yeah, I'm definitely the most proud of that. Whether or not I had much to do with it, I don't know. It could just be his personality. But
well, take that win.
Yeah, I am. How about you? What are you the most proud of?
I think specifically, I'm really proud of setting up that office space in that extra room. I think there's something about like allowing myself to be selfish enough to be like, this is going to be my space, and I'm going to do it how I want to do it, and I'm going to spend some money to do it. And I just don't like advocate for myself that much. You know, I'm always like taking care of other people and doing things for other people, and like just claiming a space and making it great for me. Like, I love being in there. I like working in there. It's improved like my job because I actually like have a nice place to sit and work. And yeah, I'm just really proud that I took the time, the space, the money to do something for myself instead of just ignoring my own needs and desires. So I really like that. And I really like the space. So I'm proud of that.
It's very Virginia Woolf of you, a room of one's own.
Yes, exactly. Oh, I love it.
Okay, next question. Oh, what was your favorite episode of our podcast this year?
Ah, all of them. let's see. I think that, I mean, I always love our throwback episodes so much. I think it's so fun. I really loved the set of episodes where we talked about our brushes with fame in our teens. That's episode like 141, 142. And I'm going to add one more in there because I really love this one. It was your VBAC story. I just loved hearing that. I loved hearing Sebastian's little first cries that you shared with us. And that one's really memorable to me, too.
Yeah, actually, that was the one I chose, too, because I mean, how could I not? It was episode 139. Yeah. And yeah, I just, you know, it's a little self-involved, but I just loved being able to share that. I love that I actually remembered to take voice memos mm-hmm. during my VBAC. Like, it's just awesome. So I love having that to share with everyone and to look back on for myself.
Yeah, that's so cool to have that. All right, next question. What was your favorite podcast or podcasts to listen to this year?
Without question, my number one was Maintenance Phase.
Mm-hmm.
Do you listen to that?
Yeah, I started listening to that when you suggested it. It's definitely on my favorite list, too. It's so good.
It's so good. It's one of the few shows that, like, the minute it pops up, I'm like, oh, my gosh, new Maintenance Phase. For people who don't remember, it's sort of like looking at wellness and diet culture and taking things apart. It's very similar to You're Wrong About, which you told me I need to go back and listen to, which is hosted by one of the co-hosts of Maintenance Phase. But it's like You're Wrong about like wellness and diet culture and stuff. Mm-hmm. And it's just a delightful and entertaining and educational listen. And then I just wanted to mention one other one that's like very left field, but I've been really enjoying, which is a podcast called I Will Teach You to Be Rich.
Sounds like something I need.
Are you familiar with the Esther Perel podcasts? Like,
oh,
her,
yeah. I like her show.
What's it called? Where Should We Begin, I think.
Mm-hmm.
So Esther Perel does these podcasts where, like, you get to listen in on a, like, real-life couples counseling session, right? You get to be, like, kind of a fly on the wall for them. This is like that, but for money conversations.
Ooh.
So it's just couples getting together and talking about where their problems are with money and like where they have conflicts and, you know, why they're not living their rich life right now, basically. And it's just fascinating to me because it's stuff no one talks about in public. I feel like not even with your friends. You know what I mean? Like, it's kind of that last taboo thing where you don't really talk about details. And I'm not talking about like, we're having, you know, you'll talk like in generalities, but like the host literally makes them tell you like how much money they make, how much they have saved. Like, you get to actual numbers.
Mm-hmm.
It's just fascinating because like he'll have multimillionaires on and then he'll have people who make like $50,000 a year. And you can hear how their problems really aren't that different. And it's all like psychological. It's not actually about how much money you have, but it's about like your ideas about money.
Oh,
so
interesting.
I've been really enjoying that podcast.
What's it called again?
I Will Teach You to Be Rich.
Oh, cool. I'm going to subscribe to that right away.
All right. So how about you? What have you been listening to?
Yeah, definitely Maintenance Phase. That is in heavy rotation. And aside from some of the ones we mentioned recently, like I love Heavyweight, a new one I really love listening to is Every Little Thing. Did you tell me about that one?
No, I did not. It is a Gimlet show, though, right?
Yeah, it's a Gimlet show. It's only available on Spotify now. It's a Spotify exclusive. So go there if you're looking for it. There are lots and lots of episodes in the catalog, so there's plenty to choose from. But they're kind of quick episodes, and what they do is they answer random listener questions, like, about anything. Like, one I listened to the other day, a caller called in and was like, I just watched a documentary on kangaroos, and what is it like inside of a kangaroo pouch? And like they got a kangaroo expert on and like talked about what it's like in there. So stuff about animals to like what did people eat 10,000 years ago? Why do auctioneers talk the way they do? Just like super quirky little questions that people have that the answers end up being really fascinating. And so that's a new fun one for me to listen to. And then the new one I'm right in the middle of right now is called Sweet Bobby. Have you listened to that one?
No. It strikes me as a true crime title, Sweet Bobby.
Yeah. You know how I like my true crime. This one is about an extremely elaborate catfish scheme. This woman was catfished for years by this guy, Bobby. And so I think I'm on like episode 3 or 4 getting into it. And it's just like, whoa, it's really interesting. So those are my new faves.
Okay, I'm going to have to listen to that because I can do true crime as long as there's no murder.
No murder has come up yet. I can't guarantee that that won't eventually happen. I don't know. So
okay. Okay, so we have a couple more questions for each other, but you know what? I think I need to go subscribe to these podcasts before I forget.
Same.
Do you want to take a quick break and then come back after we've done that?
Okay.
Okay, we are back and we are just going to finish up our year in review questions. So, Shauna, I have another one for you.
Okay.
What did you learn about yourself this year?
Oh, I learned that I need to be like more compassionate with myself. Nicer to myself. I tend to set really high expectations and try to do everything and be the best mom, the best this, the best that, that I can be. And I've found myself floundering several times this year, just like super overwhelmed with this challenging year and just overwhelmed with everything I've got going on. And yeah, I think that it's good for me to be compassionate with myself, especially like when I get days long migraines, instead of like trying to push through and do. It's okay to like take a nap and like allow myself to rest, allow myself to take care of myself. And I think I need more of that than I realize. And that's kind of what I opened my eyes to about myself this year.
That's awesome. I fully support that.
Thank you. What about you? What'd you learn about yourself this year?
I learned that I can survive off of a lot less sleep and a lot less support than I thought I could.
Indeed.
Newborn, during a pandemic, with a toddler, that is a lot. And
so much.
You know, he had periods of good sleep and periods of not good sleep. And I was really tired, like really, really just bone tired. But, you know, I got through it. So,
yeah. And you kept a podcast going through it, too. So that's pretty amazing.
Yeah. I'm really proud of us for never missing a week this year.
Like, I know.
That's amazing.
That is. Good job, Laura.
Good job, Shauna.
Thanks. All right. Next question. What three words sum up your year?
Okay. Busy, long, and cozy.
Aw. All right. Tell me about those.
Well, busy because like you have a new kid. It just is busy. It's just you are so busy trying to do all the things and trying to take care of the older kid and the younger kid. And then we moved, you know. So like it just that was the first thing that sprang to mind. It was a busy year.
Mm-hmm.
And long. It's felt like a very long year.
Mm-hmm.
I just feel like the pandemic makes everything seem super, super long. And I feel like the whole like the days are long, but the years are short thing didn't apply to this year. I'm like, fuck, it feels like it's I feel like 2020 was a million years ago.
Yeah, it does. I remember halfway through this year, like almost every day I would be like, I still have a 2-year-old. Like she's still two. Like, it just seems like it should, more time should have passed or something.
That's so
crazy. Yeah.
And then cozy was just, you know, it was cozy because most of the year we were kind of still in our bubbles. And I had a little snuggly newborn and we moved into the new house and, you know, and we're nesting and stuff. So,
yeah,
it's been a cozy year.
Yeah, that's nice.
Okay, how about you? What were the three words that would sum up 2021 for you?
I would say exhausting, out of balance,
okay,
and loving.
Okay.
Exhausting, obviously. It's just been a long slog, you know, since the pandemic started. And trying to juggle everything with no breaks, no family in town, you know, not a lot of time to myself, all that jazz. And out of balance for a similar reason, right? It's like, I was surprised that I was able to make an office for myself, right? Like, it's, my life is so out of balance that I do one thing for myself. And it's just like, what? So I need more social activities. I need more time alone out with Steve. I need more time for myself. Like, it's just all work and all taking care of my kids, basically. So I feel really off kilter.
Yeah, I feel that too.
But loving, because like the thing about this time and spending a lot of time at home is that I really have just gotten so much quality, loving time with my family and my kids and Cece, like, especially is for as needy and clingy as she can be, she's really snuggly. She's super loving. It's so fun to like snuggle with her at bedtime and watching TV and just a lot of love. And even for our dogs, our sweet little dogs. So
yeah,
very lots of love this year for sure.
That's so sweet.
Yeah.
Okay, guess what? This is the last question.
Okay.
Okay. What are you most looking forward to in 2022?
Cece getting that vaccine and into preschool, baby. Like, that cannot happen soon enough. I'm just like, just waiting on the edge of my seat for that to happen. And at this point, who knows when that's actually going to be. So maybe I'll try to set my expectations a little lower in 2022 mm-hmm. and then hope to be pleasantly surprised.
Yes. Yeah. I think letting go of all expectations.
Yes. Truly. Truly. What about you? What are you looking forward to most?
I think I'm looking forward to watching how Augie and Sebastian's relationship grows, because right now we're just sort of at the very beginning of how they're like really interacting with each other. You know, like, it's really starting to be a two-way street there, because at 10 months, you know, he's mobile, he's crawling, and he's able to really sort of interact, and he babbles at Augie and Augie babbles back. And so, like, I'm just starting to see the relationship blossom, and like, I can't wait to see how that grows in the mm-hmm. next year.
Yeah, it'll be a really fun time. I remember once Cece hit one, and then mm-hmm. 1.5, even better, I was just like, oh, this is also good, so much better with the two of them, and it got really fun.
Yeah, I just remember having a one-year-old is actually really fun. Mm-hmm. I remember being so nervous, like, I'm not going to have my baby anymore, but looking back on having a one-year-old, I was like, oh man, they're still babyish, but they're like really fun and interactive and really sweet. So I'm really excited to have that all happen together.
Cool. Yeah. That'll be great.
But that appears to be the end of our very long special segment, our year in review.
Yeah. Well, it was good. I love doing that. And maybe one day I'll listen back to 2020 and see what we said then and see if anything's different. But for now, do you want to move on to our BFPs and BFNs?
Yes.
All right, so we wrap every week up with our weekly BFPs or BFNs. Laura, you're up first. What do you got for us?
I have a BFN.
Oh, no. Okay, what happened?
It feels like a parenting fail. Mm. What happened was we went to see Santa.
Mm-hmm. Okay. That's supposed to be jolly.
It did not go well.
Oh, no.
It's supposed to be jolly. It did not go well. Let me just send you a picture.
Okay.
So I was all excited because I found a Santa that was like triple vaxxed and tested weekly, and it was around the corner from our house. And I was like, okay, we are going to see Santa.
Mm-hmm.
And when Augie was a baby, we took him to see Santa. He was about 11 months old and he loved it. Like, he was so happy and he thought Santa was cool, and he has like the best smiling picture on Santa's lap. So we went to the Glendale Galleria and got these photos, and I bought like a package with prints, of course, because it's the only way you could get the digital version. I'm going to send you the print they sent.
And do you buy them? Do you have to purchase them before the photo is taken?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes, you do.
That's smart of them. Okay.
They're no idiots.
They are no idiots. Okay, let me see.
Here you go.
Sebastian is full on crying on Santa's knee. Augie is like doing a death stare straight ahead on Santa's other knee. Like, what the fuck have you made me do? And then underneath it says merry and bright. Santa's, of course, smiling all big.
He was such a nice Santa. He was so game and very sweet. I have like a series of photos, and they're every single one. I'm going to send you this one too. Sebastian looks like he's about to be murdered, right? Like, poor thing.
Oh my God. He looks so pissed.
I just sent you another one. And poor Augie, I think he was stressed out by the baby crying because he loves his little brother so much. So I think that's what his face is.
Oh, yeah. Well,
because I did actually get a good photo of just Augie and Santa.
Oh, okay. That's good.
I'm sending it to you.
Aw, yeah. That's super cute. He looks happy there.
Yeah. So, but the reason why it's a BFN, you know, whatever, bad photos, whatever. But like, the BFN is that, like, I feel like I have failed a respectful parenting test. You know?
Yeah.
Like, Janet Lansbury would not approve of the fact that I, like, made my child children really sit on Santa's lap when they didn't want to. Mm-hmm. And even though he was crying, you know, it was a brief period of time and I don't think he was permanently traumatized by it, but it definitely was like, ooh, maybe I shouldn't have done that. So
yeah,
that's my BFN.
The first time Elle saw a Santa, it was just a Santa at my gym when she was like one or something. And it was like fine, but it definitely like wasn't great. And I remember just walking away with kind of like, well, that was kind of weird, a feeling in my stomach. And we've not because of this specifically, but we've never been to see Santa after that ever. They've never seen Santa. So not that I'm against it or anything, but just to say, I know what you mean and I know where you're coming from.
Thanks. Yeah, but we'll see what happens next year. I mean, next year they may be into it. So
yeah,
who knows? So what about you? Do you have a BFP or a BFN?
I have a BFP.
Oh, good. I feel like it's just been like a string of BFNs lately.
Yeah. This one's also holiday related. It was really fun this weekend. In my neighborhood, they have a little holiday parade along the main street. And we like to go to it every year. It's so fun. And Steve wasn't home that day. He had to go to like his work party or something. So it was just me and the girls. And I packed him up in our beach wagon and we walked down to the parade route and wore our Santa hats and Elle dressed up in like a super sparkly Christmas dress. And it was just like really cute and fun. And it's just so small town feeling, right? It's like Girl Scout troops and bands from the local schools, marching bands and horses. And it was really cute. And then the extra fun thing about it is that Cece's mommy and me group was walking in the parade and they had invited us to like come and walk the whole route with them and everything. And I was like, we can't handle that. Like, that's not going to happen. But she was like, you can also just watch the parade on the side of the road. And when you see us, like run out and join us and walk in the parade.
Gosh.
Yeah. So I was like, oh, that's what we'll do. And about halfway through, we saw the group walking by, all dressed up in their holiday attire, and we ran out with the wagon, and Elle was like, I want to walk, and Cece was in the wagon, and we were waving at everyone and saying Merry Christmas, and it was just super cheery and festive and adorable and fun, and we all had an awesome time.
Dang, they have been in a parade and they're not even six yet.
Yes, I know.
I've never been in a parade. I want to be in a parade.
That was my first parade. Yeah, it was really cool.
Baby's first parade.
Yeah, she kind of got sleepy from the wagon ride and like fell asleep towards the end, but it was fun for me.
Oh my God, I can't imagine a world where Augie would fall asleep outside of like bedtime. At this point, especially not at a parade.
She does get lulled to sleep in moving vehicles. So I wasn't
That's wonderful.
Too surprised. Yeah.
That's wonderful.
Yeah. And it's, you know, it's you never know when you go out alone with the two kids. And that was like a big endeavor, right? Like, oh, my God, how am I going to handle this? But it was great. And we went to Menchie's afterwards and got ice cream and walked home. And it was just a successful day, which is always like, oh, thank God. Yay.
That's wonderful. Well, I'm glad that you had a good holiday related thing after my Santa fail.
Yeah. All right. I think we should wrap this episode up. Oh, I think we should read another 5-star review. What do you think?
Yes, we should. I love doing this.
Okay. This is from Amy. The title is Great for Expecting Parents, and it's 5 stars. It says, this has been my go-to podcast throughout my entire pregnancy, and as I'm parenting my little one now, I've learned so much and laughed quite a bit as well. Oh, thanks, Amy.
Thank you, Amy. Thanks for listening.
Yeah, that's so wonderful. We love the feedback. Thank you so much. And if anyone else wants to leave us a 5-star review, we might read it on the show. So please head over to iTunes or wherever you listen to podcasts and leave us a review. Also, how was your year? Do you have any answers to the year-end questions that we asked ourselves today? We'd love to hear your own reflections on your year, so please send us a note. Laura, where can everyone reach us?
We're on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and TikTok at BFP Podcast. We have a website, bigfatpositivepodcast.com. And if you want to send us an email, you could throw a voice memo of your answers to these questions into that email. Just send it to contact at bigfatpositivepodcast.com. And finally, if you want to join a super cool group of people on the internet, just search Facebook for Big Fat Positive Community. Request to join because it's a private group and we need to make sure you're not a robot. But once you answer those two questions, we'll send you straight through and you can join in on all the amazing and wonderful conversations we're having in there.
And if you love our show, please spread the word. Let your friends know about BFP. Our show is produced by Laura Bierick, Shauna Maiko, and Steve Yeager. Thanks so much for listening, everyone. Happy New Year.
Bye. Happy New Year.